step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
So we have to be really careful, and it really is an understanding going into the process of trying to work with the body, work with the immune system, allow the body to calm, allow the immune system to regulate, and the willingness on the side of the client to understand that this was years in the making.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hours Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. And oh my goodness, I am so excited. You guys probably remember Pat Duckworth. She's been on the show a few times. She's the Hot Women Rocks, the menopause expert, and we've had her on such great shows like Is It Autoimmune or Is It Menopause? And
what a great title.
I just love Pat because she introduced us. That was Nikki's voice. She introduced us to Nikki Burnett. You heard her voice a minute ago. And she's a functional nutritionist and founder of Taste Life Nutrition, and she calls it a health detective practice. I love it. I love it. I think we all need a health detective or we have to become one.
True. Yeah.
I feel like I've become my own health detective, especially after 7 years of doing the show. Oh my goodness. Well, welcome to the show, Nikki. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. I've been so excited about this for, I don't know, a month now, however long it's been. So I'm just glad it's finally here. We get to have some fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nikki and I chatted a while ago. And, you know, one of the things for me about my wellness path was nutrition. And I'm going to tattle on myself. Many of the people know that I was a road warrior. I was doing a lot of corporate trainings around the world. Still am, but totally revamped my life around that. And I was thinking that grabbing a salad in the airport was healthy. Because hey, it was a salad. Little did I know that it probably wasn't very quality, and it was sprayed with all sorts of things to keep it that bright, shiny green color, all sorts of things like that. And for me, finding out what I can eat and what I should eat and all of that at one time got down to just a handful of foods. And that's why I think people like Nikki are so important to help us. Once the doctor says, nope, 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 you go, well, what can I eat?
So right.
First, Nikki, explain, what's a functional nutritionist?
So functional nutritionists, we are looking for the root cause. We are not there to cover up symptoms. We want to understand what the symptoms are, why the symptoms are there. And once we start getting some answers, we continue to ask why. So it's not about, this is your situation, or this is your condition, and then let's figure out a supplement or even a drug, which of course I don't do drugs, but to cover it up. It's let's understand why the body's functioning. Let's run labs. Let's look at lifestyle. Let's look at trauma and sleep and movement and all of these things that impact our health on such a deep level. It's really digging in and addressing the root cause and and bringing health from the foundational level up. So the body has the ability to balance and then start working on its own.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that whenever I see functional, now help me understand what that word means, because whenever I see functional, I think that what that it talks about is going back in your history and finding root causes. Is that whenever I see that word, that's what I think of.
I would say yes, but it's when it's functional, it's how the body's functioning, why it's functioning as it is, and what can we do to help it function at its maximum capacity. So at optimal levels, right? So I think, you know, there are a lot of terms that become the cool term. You know, it was holistic and now it's functional, and it's all true. And I have drank the Kool-Aid 100%. Not that I drink Kool-Aid. But
we'll just put that in air quotes.
Yeah, right. But it helps to kind of, in my mind, holistic, sure, but let's understand the body is functioning. It's functioning as a whole. It doesn't function in piece and parts, which is a little bit of a disconnect in some areas of medicine. Not that it's a bad thing. You know, we have to specialize and we have to have people who understand the cardiovascular system, understand, you know, the GI and, you know, and its function and dysfunctions and the kidney function and dysfunctions. But we want to put it all together as a whole, because the cardiovascular system is going to affect every other part of the body. Kidneys are going to affect every part of the body. The endocrine system is going to affect every part of the body. So we want to understand at a deep level how it's functioning and then allow it to balance. So that function is actually, you know, where we want to be, so we can live and thrive and have fun and grow and create and share and all the fun things that we're here to do.
Oh, absolutely. And I love this idea of, that was one thing through my medical thriving journey here, is this idea of specialization. I get it. Like you said, I get it. You got to have people that know really detail down to the very little bitty, but
right.
I could never understand when, like, they didn't care what I was doing with something else, mm-hmm. or didn't care that I, you know, some other body part was acting up. But they all have to talk inside me. So
right. Yeah.
Aren't we talking outside of me? They all have, my body's all connected. And that was a little frustrating to me. And then you would get, oftentimes for me, as far as nutrition goes, I've gotten multiple answers to where one person would say, and I'm just going to throw out terms like no gluten, no dairy. Okay. Okay, I can check those off. I'm not happy, but I'll check those off. And then someone else says, no, you can have dairy, but you can't have lectins and lentils. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Okay, so I guess I'll check off dairy just to be safe. And then there goes lentils and lectins. And pretty soon you're like, I don't know. What am I going to eat?
It's confusing.
It can be very confusing. I've had friends that have had great success doing all these different kinds of things. And you mentioned testing. I've had, different kinds of tests that tell me, metabolic and allergy tests for nutrition. So I guess where I am with, I don't even know what questions to ask. That's how confused I am. How do we know what's right for us? You know, they all sound reasonable.
It's a hard one to answer only because everybody's unique. And so what I will say in my training and when I work with my clients, the very black and white, hands down, is if you have an autoimmune condition, dairy and gluten are out, period. Now, what I will do also, depending on the severity of the condition, depending on the willingness of the person, depending on, you know, a lot of factors, you know, the ability they have to manage food and things like that. It's, yeah, let's do a full-on autoimmune protocol, which is going to be eliminating nightshades, grains, seeds, nuts, sugar, fake foods, all of those things, to see if we can get you under control. Because, you know, some people come to me and it's just constant flare and they don't know what it's from or why it's happening. It may not be all of those things that are creating a flare. It could be those things all bundled up together and the body's like, okay, I've had enough and I can't stand it anymore. But it could be that we just need to take out all of the things that are creating, you know, this really mad body and this upregulated immune system, and give it a break, give it some time, give it some support with nutrients, with supplements, with, you know, meditation and sunlight and these things that we need to have to survive. And then once we have a little bit of relief, the body starts to calm, the flares aren't as consistent, you know, and I don't know how long that's going to be. It really depends on the person, because it could be that, you know, well, I'll say this in just a minute, but there will be a point to where we'll say, okay, let's start to bring in a couple of things and let's see what happens. But here's where we want to be careful with somebody who is that sick and flared and what's my word? Inflamed. That was a hard one.
Well, that was my next question. So keep going.
Is we can make so much progress. And I had a client like this. She had rheumatoid arthritis, sweet thing. But we made so much progress. And then she went, I'm doing so well. I feel so good that I can have a little bite of cake or I can have a little bite of bread. There will be a point to where we'll say, okay, let's start to bring in a couple of things and let's see what happens. But here's where we want to be careful with somebody who is that sick and flared and what's my word? Inflamed. That was a hard one. is we can make so much progress. And I had a client like this. She had rheumatoid arthritis, sweet thing. But we made so much progress. And then she went, I'm doing so well. I feel so good that I can have a little bite of cake or I can have a little bite of bread. She had went to a birthday party for her daughter or something. She had a bite of cake and took her months backwards. So we have to be really careful. And it really is an understanding going into the process of trying to work with the body, work with the immune system, allow the body to calm, allow the immune system to regulate. And the knowledge on the side of, and the willingness on the side of the client is to understand that this was years in the making. It's not going to be a week or 2 weeks or 6 months for it to clear. We make progress, but it can take time. And we just have to, just what we have to be prepared for.
Right. And there's so many factors, because food is not only nutrition and for the body to heal. You know, there's so many social factors. So how many things in our life revolve around food? Having family over, even now, you know, but there's so much emotion tied to food that it's not that easy. Plus, if you're a parent, goodness sakes, do you end up cooking 5 different meals? Or, you know, there's just so many questions around it when we're trying to heal. I think that's why people are jump at things like just pop this pill or something like that, because it's easier than arguing with family members. No, I know you want toast, honey, but the smell of toast just sends me into craving it and I'm not supposed to have it.
It's hard. It's not an easy thing to deal with. And, you know, working with clients, I do my best to try to ease that. I have a health coach who works with me also. She's really good at those day-to-day changes, who can help give ideas and kind of manage the, you know, how frustrating it can be. But it's a process, you know, when I try to help people when they have to cook multiple meals, let's cook a base that's the same thing and maybe just add something in for somebody else, right? Let's make it as simple as possible. And it's not always that easy. Not everybody has lots of support in the family. It can be tough for anybody.
Sometimes it's even well-meaning.
Yeah.
You know, what I mean is, oh, I have family members at holidays who are like, oh, but it's, you know, X holiday, great grandma's, you know, famous, whatever, be sure and taste it. No, I can't even have just a taste of it. You know, for me, as far as the healing from autoimmune, I found the food and the emotional and social aspects of food were some of the toughest to deal with as far as getting through that part, because it was so attached to so many other things. If you have rheumatoid arthritis, or if you have, in my case, it was dermatomyositis, so my skin's inflamed, it's kind of obvious and people are, oh, okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A lot of people just have a hard time understanding. I'm just, not to malign broccoli, this is just what came to my head. But you know, but it's just broccoli. But for some people, just broccoli isn't it. And for me, mm-hmm. which is the strangest trigger, I didn't believe it at first, but personally triggers really serious headaches with me. I semi-believed it. How's that? I was like, okay, well, what's one more thing to cross off the list? Okay, cross off parsley. I wasn't that attached to it to begin with, so it was okay. But I accidentally got parsley at a restaurant. The food came and it was ideal for me to eat, except somebody'd sprinkled a little parsley on top. And I hadn't thought to say no parsley.
Mm-hmm. It's a garnish. Why not? Yeah.
I scraped it off and ate it. And oh my goodness, within hours, I had a headache that, in a weird way, it taught me what inflammation really was. Mm-hmm. I called the person I was working with at the time and I said, "You're not going to believe it. I think I've been parsleyed. What do I do now?" And they walked me through it. But I said, "Why is it so extreme? Why am I in so much pain?" And she said, "Well, look, when we first met, your inflammation was off the charts. Mm-hmm. And so what's a little parsley? What's a little more inflammation when it's really bad? It's sort of like, what's a wildfire with a little bit more?" And I'm like, okay, I get it. She says, "We've got that down to just a really slow kindling now. You know," she said, "we got it way down, not perfect, but we got it way down. And you threw a little gasoline on there and it just took off." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it. I get it. Why I have to stick with these things. Let's talk about some of the tests that are out there, because I've probably taken the majority of them, but I never know which ones are really, really spot on and others that are, might be good reference material, but not needed right away.
There are hundreds. I have my favorites and I follow along as you would expect as a functional nutritionist. I follow along with the tests that are proven, who have, you know, got data behind them, but still, even with that, there are some that are more important than others. And I'll tell you, in practice, I don't care who I'm working with. What I want to see is a comprehensive metabolic panel, which is typically run by your conventional medical doctor, but mine is not mine, but the one I've been taught in all of my training to run is much more comprehensive than what you would typically see. So say somebody with, they're being tested for a thyroid condition, you know, Hashimoto's, autoimmune thyroiditis. Goodness gracious. So, you know, a lot of times what happens is there's a step in that's missed. They may look at TSH, T3, T4, but they don't look at the antibodies. So they might be diagnosed as hypothyroid, but they're not diagnosed as autoimmune hypothyroid, which is much different, because there's not a problem with the thyroid. There's a problem with the immune system, and you approach it much differently. So I got off track just a little bit, but I think it's important for anyone who has had thyroid testing, has been diagnosed hypothyroid, have not had their antibodies tested, go get your antibodies tested. You have to understand if it's an immune dysfunction or if it's a true thyroid dysfunction. Or, you know, my thyroid panel is, 9 or 10 markers. You know, it could be a pituitary issue. It could be a gut issue that's throwing the thyroid off. And then the thyroid, of course, throws other hormones off. Again, everything is connected. So in looking at that, we want to be as comprehensive as possible. So I want to look at whoever it is. I want to look at their entire thyroid panel. I want to look at their inflammatory markers. And I don't want to go too much deeper than that. But, you know, these are the things that are important to help me understand, again, the functioning of the body. And real quick on that, the way that functional medicine, functional nutrition looks at the ranges of those are a little bit different as well. So when we're looking at your typical lab ranges, they're not necessarily optimal ranges. They're very general. And we can also, if we look outside lab ranges, it's potentially more pathogenic. So if we're looking at functional ranges, which tend to be maybe a little tighter range, then it may send up what I would call just red flags. Instead of it being, oh, this is a scary marker out of range, it's more of a red flag marker. And then we take those red flags and we start to put pieces of the puzzle together. So understanding the differences between the way that we look at them, because there's a difference in functional ranges versus conventional ranges, and you approach them differently. Both important, right? In practice, the other one I always do, no matter what the situation is going to be a stool test. People hate to hear it, but when they see the results, they see the results and all of the information that we get from it, you know, a really good understanding of the microbiome, the good bugs, the bad bugs, the opportunistic and pathogenic bugs, the worms and the parasites and the inflammation and the potential pancreatic insufficiencies and all the things that we can see gives, again, you can take that and start putting, you know, more pieces of the puzzle together. So then you take all of the tests together and you put the pieces of the puzzle together. You can look at micronutrients and you can, you know, look at hormones. So there are lots of things. Again, it's very individualized to the person. What I would like to say that I think is important is a lot of people feel the need, a lot of practitioners feel the need to first line do food sensitivity testing. In my mind, I love food sensitivity testing because it gives us so much information. But if we're looking at budget and trying to understand what makes the most sense and how we can get the most information from a group of labs, we're going to go with a few of these that, like I just mentioned. Because if we get a food, if somebody's flaring, if their body's angry, even if it's not autoimmune, and the food sensitivity test comes back and it's all red, I had that happen one time. The entire thing was red, and
How disheartening to the person.
It is because the person thinks, "What am I going to eat? What am I going to do?" And it's really scary. It's not the food; it's the immune system. So this is all red because the immune system is angry. And so we have to calm the immune system. So it's nice when we rerun and we see that it's not all red anymore, but really, was it necessary? We already knew that they were in a challenging position. We already knew by the other reports that there is, you know, just dysbiosis and inflammation and all of these things that tend to lead to autoimmune conditions anyway. Why spend the money? And then, you know, we start making progress, and then later we can say, okay, maybe there are some foods that you're not doing great with. Let's maybe think about running it now. And then we can have a little more solid direction, pull those foods out for a period of time, and then hopefully we can bring them back in once we make more progress. I probably should stop there because I just keep going and going.
Well, that's fantastic because we need it right on time. We need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Nikki Burnett about nutrition. It's such a fascinating subject to me. It's been some of the biggest leaps in my health have been when I understood the nutrition, and two, when I adhered to it. Yeah. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Nikki Burnett, and she's a functional nutritionist and founder of Taste Life Nutrition, and just affectionately known as a health detective, and I love that because it's all about nutrition, as you've been hearing, and I say this all the time, that I am what I eat, and that, you know, I'm not really cool about this term, but I get it, food as medicine, but years ago, I was talking to Dr. Perlmutter about it, and he explained it. He said, well, just think of food as chemicals, and that you're just one big chemical soup, and however you change the chemicals that day is how the soup turns out. And I thought, well, graphic, you know, a little bold visual there, but I kind of liked that idea. Okay, and I got attached to food. I got attached to certain foods for reasons. One of my family things is, here, have a cookie, you'll feel better. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like that idea of, okay, no, food is just chemicals. It's about how am I combining the chemicals?
I agree. I like that too. But I'm going to tell you, there's a book, I'm not sure where it is. It changed my thinking about food. And I talk about it all the time because it literally, I mean, just kind of opened up this whole new world to me and how much food affects us and affects our future, you know, literally and, you know, biochemically. But if we can look at food, if we can take it back, you know, it's basics. We eat it, we break it down. The nutrients within that food, it's a language. It literally is speaking to our body and it's telling our body down to our DNA what to do. And so if we're eating good, clean, healthy, organic, pesticide, herbicide, GMO free food that, you know, that we're meant to eat. The body's like, okay,
like real food,
just food. Yeah. Very basic.
Things that our great grandparents called food.
Yeah, exactly. So we take it, it's very basic and the body knows what to do. It's ready to go. It's okay. You know, and there are a lot of other factors in the world, right? So I'm not saying that this is going to keep us symptom free, but this is a huge component. So then if we take it back and we do the processed foods, all of the junk that we put in food, it's just called all the junk. I don't have to explain it. Everybody knows what it is. But this is sending, it's communicating a really broken line of communication to our cells and to our DNA. And so the body, you know, it can function on its own for a while. And then it's like, whoa, I don't know what to do with this anymore. I'm super confused. I'm not getting any direction. I'm not getting the right direction. The direction I am getting, I don't even understand. It's like a foreign language. What do I do with this? And so the cells get mad. The DNA starts to express in ways that we don't want it to express. And then we start getting symptoms. And so this is where the body, or, you know, we have stopped listening to our symptoms, because literally, you know, the diseases and the pains and the bloating, the junk, there, you know, it's the body, it's knocking on our door, you know, it's like getting our attention. Hey, I need you. And I need you to pay attention. And I need you to take control now and tell me what to do, because I'm at a point where I'm lost. And so we don't listen to that. Well, we take a drug or we take an Advil and we're like, okay, I just got to keep going. I got to keep going and doing my thing. And, you know, we don't make the changes. We don't listen. We just cover it up. And then things just progress. We wonder, gosh, how did I get in this place that I'm in? Well, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, these things are lifestyle conditions. There is an epigenetic component to it, because we can have, you know, epigenetics passes down. This is my favorite thing. I love epigenetics, but the coolest thing is that it passes down. Our health has the potential of passing down for 7 generations. So
wow.
It's amazing. amazing. It just gets me excited because what I'm doing right now, I don't have kiddos, but anybody who wants them or does, you know, it's that understanding that your body today affects multiple future generations and how much control we have over that, how much accountability we have over that, which is not always an easy thing to take on, is that accountability. You know, we like to blame our things on bad luck and age and genetics and things like that, when so much of it really, it's lifestyle. We have so much control over our lifestyle. It's pretty incredible.
We do have control, but I guess as the lay person, I'm of that generation where, you know, doctors used to smoke.
I know.
I all sorts of other things. I'm of that generation where certain, you know, what was that? Not the fast foods, but the, you know, frozen meals.
Like the frozen dinners.
Yeah, or whatever, you know, were touted as healthy. And as long as bread was enriched, it was quality. And, you know, I'm of that generation. So I don't want to like lay the blame on us, some of us who have like drank the proverbial Kool-Aid back then with what we were told, like, oh, you know, this isn't harmful. That's not harmful. And then, wow, lo and behold, years go by and the science stacks up. You're like, I guess it was.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. And, you know, we had the TV dinners. I did not grow up in a healthy household. It wasn't unhealthy, but I mean, we didn't have just the half gallon ice creams. We had like the gallon tub, plastic tubs of ice cream, you know?
And I had casseroles with broken chips and crackers on top. So,
and they were the best.
Oh, they were. I'm not complaining. I miss them sometimes. Unfortunately, they're comfort foods for me when I think about them. I have a quick story about when I went to a specialist right after my diagnosis. Took a while to get in to see them. They were top notch. And they said, what have you been doing so far? And I said, I've been eating organic food only. And I've given up all sorts of drinks that I like and only filtered water, blah, blah, blah. Went through this whole list. And they had this, I'll say, audacity to say to me and with a straight face, none of that is going to help.
Oh, such a shame.
And I'm telling you, the spoiled little kid on my shoulder screamed in my ear, see, I told you could have the chocolate sundae. And all of that work that I convinced myself, eating very clean, as I knew it then, I mean, obviously not as I know now, but I was doing the best I could at the time with the information I had. And yet someone just with authority just went, you know, slap that little hardworking person trying to do the right thing right off the shoulder. And so
it's hard,
you know, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know what's right and what's not right. I've gotten off onto my little soapbox there.
I get on them all the time. They're really hard to come off of, but so I'm right there with you.
Well, I want to take a different direction. We've only got, I don't know, about 20 minutes left, which I know sounds like a lot of time.
It's never long enough.
Together, it's not. I want to take a totally different question. And I've been told, and I don't know what it is, maybe it's individualized, raw or cooked?
Both, depending.
It depends. Okay. Yeah.
So it really depends on the condition of the person and what you're looking to do. So there are some people, because they have specific GI issues, that raw is not working for them. Now, it's not then that they should just not eat raw. I mean, for a time, I would say, yeah, stop eating raw for a bit, for however long, until we can clear up this condition. But it's because it's the fact that you can't eat raw is a symptom. Again, it's your body telling you there's something going on. It's not normal for us to not be able to eat raw food, you know, vegetables, fruits, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but, there you go. I realized after I asked that I made clear, no, we're not talking about
raw meat.
Raw meat. Or,
I mean, I'm not totally opposed. It's easier on the body.
Yeah. You know, I know of several healing methodologies that, boom, you get into that methodology and all of a sudden it's just 100% raw. And for me, I found it was too hard.
Well, and that's why, yes, we need, as humans, we're built to eat a wide variety of foods, which gives us the nutrients that we need. And that goes back to, you know, cooked versus raw. Take a tomato, for example, you can't get to the lycopene if you eat it raw, but if you cook it, the lycopene, you have the ability, I mean, it's more bioavailable at that point. So, you know, you eat both, but you eat also what you can eat. And if there's something that you can't eat, then you ask why. If you're, it's always, always based on you, nobody else. I will never subscribe to the, this is the diet, which I hate the word diet. I do believe in therapeutic diets, but it's never the, this is the diet that everyone should be on. It's just not the case. Genetically, epigenetically, you know, we're completely different. Our histories are different. Our traumas are different. Even if we live in the same house and we're a twin, the way that we deal with life is different. And so that means the way that we break down and utilize food is potentially different. Our needs, our nutritional needs are potentially different. So I, you know, this is why it makes my job harder, because I have to work with each person individually. I also love it because that's just what I do, but I can't get a group of people together all with an autoimmune disease and say, hey, let's all work together and do all the same exact things because it's going to work for everyone. Cause it's not, it doesn't make any sense.
I think that's one of the frustrating things about it. And so how often do you see, and what would be some signs for us to look for that maybe we've been tested and all of this, and how often does it change? Like, are there times that we can put certain foods back, and or maybe a food that we've eaten for a while now is no longer the one we need? How do we know that? I've been confused that once you sort of get pronounced with like, here's your diet specific to you, when should you recheck all that to figure out, okay, is this still true?
Yeah, the body's so dynamic, you know, and I hate to be that person that just keeps saying it depends, but it really does. If you don't flare and you're comfortable with, I mean, you're in a good place and you feel balanced and your, you know, inflammatory markers are in a good place and your antibodies are in a good place, and you decide, okay, this is the time for me to experiment a little bit because I'm willing to take the chance. It's the best thing about people understanding their bodies, and what the goal always is in my mind is for people to be in that place where they are educated, they understand their body, and they can make decisions to do what they need to do or what they want to do based on their education of their body, if that makes sense. So if you decide, or say we were to decide together, it's been 6 months or it's been 2 years. Okay, I want to try a red bell pepper and I want to see what happens. Then, you know, you're willing to do it. You've been in a good place for that period of time. Let's try it and see what happens. And so I would say, you know, something like that, you know, I don't, that wouldn't necessarily be a food sensitivity type of test. It would really be based on you and how your body reacts. For one, because you've had it out of your body for so long, it's really not going to come up. But for two, it's not necessarily an antibody reaction. I don't think as much as if the body doesn't like that pepper because it creates an inflammatory response due to the nightshades, the chemicals that are in it that make it a nightshade. That's just a reaction to that part of that pepper, right? And so we got to see if your body's going to react to that, or if it's like, okay, I'm good. But you got to give it a few days too. So you got to bring things in really slowly, especially if you have had a history of really significant flares. Do it so slow and so methodical. Don't be in a rush with any of this stuff. Give it time, because how long could it take to flare? I don't know. Could it be immediate? Could it be a day? I know when it comes to food sensitivities, it's 2 to 9 days for the sensitivity to express. So then you're like, well, that was 9 days ago. How do I know what it was?
Who remembers what I had nine right. days ago, let alone whether it was 9 days ago or I wasn't the pepper I had 9 days ago, but it was something I had 8 days ago.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Unless I sat there and ate the pepper 9 days ago and then what? Did nothing. I mean, that doesn't make sense. I understand how vital it was and is to my healing. And yet I also find it one of the more confusing ones.
Oh yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy for me. I don't think it's any easy for any practitioner, but it's learning to be, you know, learning the basics, you know, the basics for me, I suppose. And then just being methodical about it and being very careful and being that, I don't know how to, I'm going to say not that shoulder to lean on, but that person to say, you're doing okay. We're not going to rush this. I have a client who wanted to do this really, intense protocol, and she's really sick. And I had to tell her, no, Like, I'm not going to be the one to put you in the hospital. This is not your time to do this. And so it's being, it's just being that person that's outside of the situation and being a guide. And it doesn't mean we're always right. And it doesn't mean that things aren't going to, you know, go a little haywire every now and then, or maybe a lot for a while. You know, it's really, you especially know your body. And again, it's just that being prepared. People come to me. I want them to know that this is a process and they have to be 100% ready. You know, you've got to be ready to go through the process because it is a process, especially when it's a chronic situation.
Absolutely. And I have a friend who's an eczema coach. And one of the things she taught me wasn't easy to learn, and I fall off the wagon with regularity, is actually getting quite systematic and record keeping. And so I can reflect back on what it was. And because, like with food, unlike, you know, okay, so I'm taking, I don't know, like a vitamin C. Okay, I can write that down. I know what that is. I know what's in that. But gosh, I just had, let's say, a taco. Do I write down every little bit of lettuce and things that was in that? It can feel overwhelming. And yet I found that was really important for me to see the patterns, was getting pretty systematic about what I ate, when I ate. There are a lot of protocols out there about when you eat is important. What's your thoughts about that and healing?
I think, again, it depends on the situation. With autoimmunity itself, there are, for some people, fasting can be healing, especially with men. Men do really well with fasting. For women, if there's an autoimmune thyroid condition, you know, fasting can be hard on the thyroid. The hormones are wacky. You know, the thing that we have to deal with hormones, it just puts everything, just makes everything go haywire. But, there are some people who have the need to eat not constantly. I don't think that we should be grazers in most cases. I had a dancer who had Hashimoto's. And so she was in a situation where she needed to eat regularly. And she did. She always had food on her. But that's not for everybody. So I think snacking is usually not the greatest idea, but it doesn't mean it's always bad. Breakfast, eating a good, healthy, fatty, you know, I think for most people, good, not a lot of fat, that's genetic as well. Do we need more fat or less fat? You know, we can look at genetics and kind of get a guide on that. But, you know, getting good fat and getting good, healthy pasture-raised meat, eating good, healthy organic vegetables, that's kind of the basis. And when you eat it when you're hungry. And if your hunger hormones are out of whack, then that's another thing that we have to address. Some people don't know when they're hungry. Some people feel like they're hungry all the time. And it's because the leptin and the ghrelin are just sort of going, I don't know what to do. And again, it goes to the body's always talking, and it's talking to each other. It might not always know what it's saying because it's so confused. And so again, those are the things that we have to work through to find that balance. So people know when they're hungry, when they need to eat. And it sounds so weird. Like, how do you not know when you're hungry? There are a lot of people who don't know they're hungry or don't know that they're full. And that's probably more the case in most cases. But I was a really roundabout answer, but it's hard to give straight answers with some of these.
It's such a convoluted thing. Yeah. But you did allude to hormones. And I want to, in our last nine or so minutes, I want to talk about your primary focus. I love that you have a lot of clients with autoimmune. But you also have a lot of clients who are struggling to get pregnant, and you use nutrition to help them find the root cause of the difficulty and change up their lifestyle so they can actually have their little babies.
Have babies.
Yeah. I mean, I was so fascinated that is one of your key focuses. Since we've mentioned hormones a couple of times here, let's just in the last 8 minutes or so talk about that focus. And now I know some of you guys are saying that's not my thing, but there's plenty of information in here for all of us to understand. But I just love that as a great focus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't have babies without men. Okay. So you can, but in the conventional setting, it takes a man, it takes a woman. That's the way we come together. And I say that because this absolutely is applicable to men, because autoimmune conditions can interfere with fertility. They can interfere with libido for both men and women. They can interfere with hormones. The inflammatory process, you know, autoimmune disease is from an inflammatory process. And so you ask why, what's it coming from? Is there an infection? Is there a parasite? Is there mold exposure? You know, so many things that can trigger an autoimmune condition in both men and women that can affect fertility. And so, yes, most of the time I'm speaking to women and I'm helping women, but that's just kind of the nature of the business a little bit. More women come to me. I do love working with men as well. And I love working with couples. And sometimes it's working with the woman and the guy and, you know, the husband or whatever is back here going, okay, I'm just going to eat what you eat and we'll support you and all the things. That's great too. But there are a lot of times, you know, our fertility rates have just plummeted, like gone through the floor. And that's for women and for men. And just as a side note, specifically for men, is we have men carrying their cell phones in their pockets. And so what we're coming to the conclusion of, I was going to give a resource and I can't think of what it is right now. Health, shoot, I have it up on my computer here in one of these 100 tabs that I have open. So anyway, I won't waste the time. I'll tell you after, maybe we can, you know, give the resource to people or something. But point is that it's a website all about how the electro-EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, are affecting everything. But one of them is men putting their phones in their pockets right next to their genitalia, and sperm counts are crazy low. And a lot of the times it's because of that. Now, it can also be because of nutrition and stress and, you know, so many things, that all the things that we're talking about can play a role in that. But I want to, any of you men who are out there listening, if this is where you are and you're looking at trying to create your family or build onto your family, get your cell phone out of your pocket.
We've had Dr. Ann Hill on, and she gave us a wonderful talk about EMFs, electromagnetic fields, and so many things beyond food. Think about these days.
I'm telling you, it is. It's overwhelming. So that's why it's really taking it back to baby steps and finding somebody who can help you with those baby steps, right? And so it's kind of getting back to your question and talking about what I do. I love GI dysfunction. I love autoimmune disease and I love fertility. And they all just kind of mesh together really well, because fertility can so be affected by autoimmune conditions and GI dysfunction. And it really is a beautiful blend. But what here's where I get super nerdy.
We all have our place. We're super nerdy.
I know. I have this big picture idea that has become so clear to me, and it has to do with having babies and has to do with creating this amazing, healthy future. And how much, you know, kind of going back to our conversation a little while ago, how much control we have over that. And so, you know, understanding your body prior to pregnancy, addressing your autoimmune conditions, if you have it, addressing any health issues that you might have, any symptoms that you might have, eating well, bringing balance to the body, even if you don't think it's super out of whack, it may not be, but allowing the body and those epigenetics, there's a word, I don't want to confuse people. So have you heard the term polymorphism? Have you had that on the show at all? Polymorphism?
Just in passing, we've never had a show on it completely.
So just a really quick. So we have our genetic makeup, our genes. And then on top of that, we have our epigenome. So it's our genome on top of our genes, right? So basically those have the ability to turn on and off due to lifestyle, which is the coolest thing in the world. And when I'm talking about this amazing big picture, if we're eating well, if we're moving regularly, if we're sleeping well, if we're managing trauma and managing stress, and just doing these few, it's a lot, I get it, but little things throughout the day, taking your baby steps, can literally change your epigenome, turn off the bad SNPs, turn on the good SNPs, get ready to get pregnant. You have a healthy baby with your current health, right? And then you set up 7 generations potentially for a good, healthy future. You've turned on these good SNPs and hopefully turned off the bad SNPs, which is a polymorphism. I hope I didn't get too deep into this, but that's just what I find so fascinating, is the control that we have over our future. And it's just, It's phenomenal. And I get super excited about it.
Well, fantastic. And Nikki, we're down to the last couple of minutes. How can people find more about you and your work?
So you can find me, I'm Taste Life Nutrition, all over the place, my website, my social media. I have a radio show called Taste Life Nutrition Radio. We turn it into Taste Life Nutrition Podcast. The website has all of my group programs, including the pregnancy. It's Soulful Conception. So it's that, it's, you know, it's got some autoimmune stuff. I mean, it's where everything is. I also have, though, a free assessment that you can take, and it comes to me. I reach out to you personally and we just talk about it. You know, what's going on? How can we help? What are, you know, are there problems that we can address? And, you know, are there things that we need to do further to help give guidance and make you feel good? That's really the goal, is for people to feel good and do the big things that they're here to do.
Awesome. Everyone, that's Nikki Burnett from Taste Life Nutrition. And she's known as the health detective, and I just love her so much. We've had a great time again. And thank you, Pat Duckworth, from the bottom of my heart for introducing us.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Pat.
Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another brand new episode. And yes, I love finding out guests that you may have, or maybe you'd like to be a guest. So drop us a line, go over to understandingautoimmune.com. Up there at the top, you'll see a little thing, be a guest, and recommend people to us, because you get to hear awesome people just like Nikki. So we'll see you next week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.